This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We may at some point have to go over things, over these, Tyler, because a lot of people are really chiming in on both YouTube and Twitch and on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line about things that they think you should push.
Let me know
tomorrow as you join the fan council.
Yes, sir. Y'all let me know. I will be your representative in there
for the people.
Are you opposed? Are you like scared to ask questions because the fan count, the other 40 people or 60 people in there may get a little
doesn't sound
impatient
like me.
With you?
Mm-mm.
He said it doesn't sound
You're going to get your questions out there.
Yeah, if I got that question,
Doug, wait a minute, Doug. I can't see the numbers, man, with them on them dark uniforms with that red. I can't see the numbers.
Yo, Doug and Fresh.
Right. What? Yeah. What are we going to do about that? Can we get some neon piping added to those jerseys, or take 4 years to do that too through the NFL? I can't. John McClain, damn sure can't see him. I mean, I know if I'm struggling, John has no chance. Berman, no chance. Right. My boy Matt Musil, no chance.
I didn't know that's where you. I didn't know you were so passionate about that.
I'm not overly passionate about it, but I do think it's something that needs. I thought it was a good pull out of the bag real quick, like what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, right there.
I'll take all the ideas, man. I'll take them all.
Can we get some piping on there, or is it going to take another 4 years?
We'll get some neon piping so these old heads can see the damn numbers, or what, man? Or do you want McClain to continue to roast you on game day every time you wear those unis?
Does he?
You know, John don't hold back on the old tweeter machine, boy. That's great.
Oh, God.
Cockamamie idea.
There you go. That guy right there.
That little cockamamie idea, huh? Good luck to you, John. Hope you're having a good day today, John. I hope you sure are. All right. Something that John's also interested in, I'm sure he's got a take on this, and that's the Astros getting going as the regular season will be here before you know it, as they'll take on the Mets. And Clint, we're starting to hear some folks not make the team, or some folks been told, like we've seen that John Singleton is not going to make the team, at least right out. Some guys in the bullpen, they've gone in another direction. They've talked about, but there's still no decision on the final three spots. This is coming from Chandler Rome of The Athletic. As he reports, still no decision on the Astros' final three position player spots. Joe Espada said they will take it down to the wire, not finalizing anything until Wednesday. Cooper Hummel, Zach Short, Zach DiZenzo, Brandon Rodgers, and Cam Smith are all still in contention to make the team. Right out of the gates. And I would pose this to everybody. You can jump in on this on the text line, YouTube and Twitch as well. But for you, do you need Cam Smith to be on this roster opening day?
Needs a strong word, but I play the game. Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I to be honest with you, I'll be completely honest with you. I want it to happen because I feel like I've been spoken down to by multiple baseball,
these baseball
know-it-alls, man. I just feel like I've been just borderline disrespected. Ain't no way, man. You got to understand. Bud Norris pulled this. T. You got to understand, man.
Scratch golf.
Damn,
spring training means absolutely nothing. You know, you got to understand, man. Like,
why do we do it? Then?
It's the business side of it with Cam Smith. Where boy, if he's on the roster opening day, it's the ups and downs. I get it, man. I didn't tell Bud. I just kind of grinned and bared it. But I mean, I'd like to see it happen because it seems like there's that side of the baseball know-it-all that just. There's a level of arrogance and there's a level of disrespect that is just shouting from the rooftops that it'll never happen. It's bad for business. It's not the right thing to do. That's not how Major League Baseball works. I'd like to see him out there for that reason, first and foremost. Number two, I do think that if he's going to, whenever he comes up, if there's going to be a major struggle, he's going to struggle whether he's up from jump or he comes up midway through the season. Let's go ahead and get them struggles. Let's get him weathering that storm. Let's get that adversity behind him. Let's get those plate appearances. Let's get that developmental process started so that later in the season he hopefully can help us move the needle a bit.
Do you need to see him? Clint says yes. And listen, this is my thing. If the plan is for him to be a starter, that's the only way I want him up. To start right off.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's got to be the plan. It's not like, all right, I'm not even platoon. Like, I don't even want a platoon with him and Chaz. Like, I don't even, or whoever. I don't want that or platoon at third or whatever. If the plan is for him to get every day at bats and he's in the lineup and you are saying, all right, we are giving you right field, or we are giving you, that's what it seems like right now. We are going, that is, if that's not the case, then I don't think he needs to be up here. Because I do agree, and they've said this about Zach DiCenzo too. Like, those are guys that don't need to go sit on the bench and don't need to come up and
action. Yeah.
Yeah, and only play 2 days a week or come up and pitch hit. Right. I don't think that is the case. He needs to be playing every day, and whether you think that should be at Sugar Land or whether you think that should be up with the big team. But to me, it's just make the decision. You are our right fielder, and let him feel that and know that, and not thinking like you are our right fielder in platoon or you're our right fielder until you struggle. No, let him hold the job or let him be whatever you want him to be in Sugar Land.
Yeah, look, I don't care if it's third base or right field. I mean, obviously, with Altuve going to the outfield, you got to hold it second, so you got some flexibility there, which Cam Smith plays into it. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like, there's no reason on that business side that gets thrown around loosely. Yeah. Like, there's no reason to waste and fast track the kid if you're not going to play him and get him to development. No question about that, but. If he legitimately has turned them to a point of like, hey man, this kid, there's a really good chance he's going to be like inside that building. I know I want it. I'd like to see it. But if they really feel that way, then I'm gung ho. I'm all about it. But you're right. I mean, obviously,
it's starter or go
agreed,
down.
Agreed. Agreed.
And I got just be a starter somewhere.
Yeah, and surely that's what that's
got to be, right.
Yeah,
like
yeah. But what he brings, it's just. People say, well, I heard Luke Morrow and John Lopez talking a little earlier about if you total up the level of competition that he's faced all spring training, it's just, I can't remember if he said where, but it's right in the double A area, right? And so the competition, let's not make too much of the numbers. Well, while I'll agree with that, those advanced stats, I agree. I love that bit, right? But at the same time, there's a bunch of other dudes that are facing that same caliber that ain't swinging the bat as well as he is.
Yeah.
And so he's swinging it better than the other guys are, no doubt about
it. He's definitely done something to force this into a conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you just missed me with the spring training don't mean nothing, the business side of this thing. Like, if he has convinced them, and I know Dana Brown, he's on record multiple times, right, saying he doesn't mind fast-tracking players. He likes to fast-track players. So, I mean, if he's done enough to impress them to that point, man, I'm all about it.
Yeah. Julia Morales he's at the icebox for the first time.
I play a little Sugar Land, ain't they?
Old Dykin, eh?
Yeah. That Dykin, for the first time ever. Cam Smith, out there to be your new right fielder. I think he is going to be the starting right fielder. It feels like
I do, too.
Damn, Chaz.
That damn Chaz can't catch a break, boy. This be
come at me about white boy.
Think
Chaz.
About this. This would be a little easier to stomach than Jake.
I screwed up.
Nah, yeah, you know, a Cam Smith fella who, as you said, has been facing the equivalent of double-A pitching has just come up here and took your damn job when they came out in the offseason and said, all right, man, we got two spots basically penciled in before the season starts, and Chaz and Jake.
Yeah, well, maybe they've noticed they realize they're going to need Chaz over in left field a little bit, too.
I don't mean... Because he's going to be the fourth outfielder or whatever. I don't mean to. What a fall.
Chaz?
Good God, man. Like, this was, 22 homers. Not even just that. The year before, a World Series hero starting all the games in center field was not good enough for him to come back the next season to claim his spot. But then he just forced.
Well into the season. I mean, wasn't he top three center fielders OPS? I mean, he was swinging the bat like with, and I know that wasn't ever going to, that was not who Chaz was, but that's where he was at that moment.
Bump that at the end of that year when MLB does their top 10 positions, he was in the top 10 of center fielders.
Yep. Jake.
And I want to say, I'm not saying that Chaz, I thought Chaz last year was a bit screwed over.
The
year's lead. I thought the year after they won the World Series and what he did against the Phillies, he deserved to get to be the center fielder, and Jake took it, and then he had to just snatch it from his ass. And then I thought again he earned the right when he hit 22 home runs and 70 RBIs and had that great OPS and was the guy struggling in the postseason. But I thought he deserved the spot. And he was going to be given the spot. He had some of the injuries and stuff like that. But I want to say it's not that he's getting screwed. No, his play has absolutely opened the door for this to happen. Now, I think maybe he's thinking to himself a little bit like, I don't know what Jake's doing on at the plate to just keep his job so solidified. But
I screwed up.
Jake's got a bronze gold. Got that bronze glove right there that you don't have.
He's got to be wishing he got dealt in that damn Tucker trade or something. wishing he's up here in the Windy City.
Change the scenery. Is that what Kenyon Green said?
Yes,
indeed. Need to change the scenery. Damn, boy, that is a fall. Oh, by the way, sad day. Local ties to this as well. We lost George Foreman.
Yeah, man. Legend.
I want you to be honest.
I saw George Foreman not too long ago at Steakhouse here in town.
Used to live next door to George Foreman Jr.
Sitting over there just chilling.
One of the Georges?
Yeah.
He's got a couple of them, doesn't he?
Yeah, in Georgetta.
He was our one of Foreman's sons, I guess one of his older ones, was our next door neighbor in our apartment complex when me and Megan first got married.
All right, seriously. First thing you think of when you think of George Foreman?
Grills.
Absolutely.
He is one of the greatest.
Mess around and lose your little grease catcher. Bowl and have to use a napkin or something.
Boy, how many times did Teresa kick my ass over that thing? just sitting there still in the dishwasher. Forgot all about that thing.
I mean,
he is one of the greatest boxers in the world.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, not currently in the world, but ever. Right. And all three of us, it's them damn grills.
He was a great grill maker,
too. And this is ranging from mid-30s to 40 to...
Seven.
Late 40s. this is ranging the... I mean, he's more synonymous with grills than Paul Wall is.
I bought two of the little ones and one of the big ones. I'm in for three, George, just in case you wondered.
The
man.
Real
I'm
big one?
Big dog. You can get you a good ape chicken breast on that George.
I'll never forget my homeboy Ian took it. We took it to school.
The George Foreman?
Yeah, took that thing to school, man. Had the big one. I'll never forget. His nickname is Ball Fade. I don't even know his real name, but he was an offensive lineman on the football team at Missouri Western. But he took it and tried to do some pork chops on him. Broke that damn thing.
Too thick?
Yeah, too thick. Yeah, broke them.
We've all been there.
Yeah, here we go. Well, we still talking about chicken breast?
Oh, yeah. No, never mind.
Yeah, man. Foreman, boy. That was That was it. You ain't lying, but that grease run on that cat and that cat.
Man. Hey, mess around and lose that little grease bowl that goes on the bottom of it, boy. It'd mess up your world now.
And that commercial, boy. You know it was those almost could have been the Hulk Hogan grills.
Yep. Is that on the documentary, the George Foreman documentary?
Might have been. I know
they never heard that.
They had the same agent. Someone just
Hogan turned it down, didn't he?
Well, no. So they had the same agent, and Hogan said that. Quick story. He said that he was picking his kids up from school, and they always complained about him being always last because he would get up there late. And so this day he said, I went up there, I went to McDonald's, got everybody's food, and I got there early. And I was the first car. Just tell you how long ago it was. First car. He said, I got in there, got all the kids, and he said he got home and he listened on his answering machine because him and George had the same agent. And they had two products. They had a blender and a grill. And he said he called Hogan first, but Hogan didn't answer because he was in the pickup.
Damn.
And then Hogan said, hey, Hogan, I got a grill or I got a blender. And then Hogan called him back and was like, I want the grill. He said, oh, George already went with the grill.
Damn. I never heard that. That's a wild-ass story. Talk about a shift in
Terry.
Bank
and then I believe this is Terry Bollea talking at this point, not Hulk Hogan. Terry Bollea said that $400 or $500 million later, he's got the grill and I got this damn blender that I put water and protein powder in. And
probably lost money on it.
Oh. That worked.
That is great.
Man. Rest in peace. Oh, old George Foreman. Damn. I thought maybe Clint might say,